So, you know, I'm sure more people are coming in when they see that we get started. How many remember Pastor Obed a year ago and his testimony? And, you know, we've kept you in our minds and hearts in prayer and encouraging ourselves in what you're doing and hearing good things. Then we have Pastor Bailey here from Marlboro and the church growing there in Massachusetts. And he's my nephew. You know, he and Justin were like their cousins, but in a way like brothers, you know. They grew up as brothers. Isn't that cool? That's very cool. And both became pastors, you know, which is a miracle. It is. It's amazing. So I think we're just going to give the microphone over to you, Pastor, and you can just speak to us.
If you can pray for us.
Yeah. Lord, we just pray for this fellowship tonight and giving us words and our thoughts to build up and edify, encourage us in world missions. To think about this country, Afghanistan, and what you are doing in the world with these people. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, thank you. Okay, thank you, Pastor Schaller, for giving me this opportunity to speak. So my name is Obed, and I'm from Afghanistan, living in Canada. So we all know that in Canada, in America, in Europe, we have our Muslim neighbors, and it's a reality today. And there are maybe millions of Muslims in these countries. And they have their own mosques and their own communities, and they are a reality in our world. They are our neighbors now. So one time maybe people from the U.S. or different countries, they used to go to other countries, Muslim countries, to reach out Muslims. But now we have Muslims in America, in Canada, in Europe, and they are here. So as Christians, when we say Christians, as believers, you know, we have to have a plan for these people, how to reach them out, how to share the gospel with them. Because we are believers and we believe in Jesus and we want to follow Jesus. So I take it that way, that I am a believer. And I already have a calling from Jesus to go out and to share the gospel. And so when I go out today, I can see Muslims. So Jesus asked me, okay, so you see Muslims, they are your neighbors. So why don't you go and share the gospel with them? Yes, but they are a little bit different from other people. You know. Yeah, they are a little bit different. So people say, no, we are all one. Everyone, like in Canada, say, we are all Canadians, new Canadians. But no, everyone is different. You can see when you go to Canada, you can see different communities. And they have nothing together. And they don't have any relationship with each other. Like for me, I'm in Canada. It's for me, I'm living in Afghanistan. I don't think that... You know, I am in Canada because I only deal with Afghans. Everything is Afghani for me. Food is Afghani. My relationships, all Afghans. Everything that I do, it's with Afghans. And it's about this Afghani culture. And and I know that, you know, these communities, they don't want to have relationship with other communities. They want to stay in their own community. So this idea doesn't work actually, that you bring people from different countries and then they will live like the people of one community in one country. Everyone has his own community, especially Muslims. So I was a Muslim one time and I know about Islam. I experienced Islam in my life. And then when I became a Christian, I had some experience as a ex-Muslim. And then in India, I was doing ministry with Muslims, only with Muslims. And so when I came to Canada, I thought, okay, you have experience, you know everything, and you know you can do something here. But for the first year, you know, I was trying to reach out the Muslim community, the Afghan Muslim community, but I kind of failed. Because I found out that these Muslims and these Afghans are different from the ones in Afghanistan and India. So the way that you reach them out, it should be different. So I just started praying and asking God and going to the community, just study about them. And then, you know, God helped me. And, you know, I learned how to reach out the community. So the difference that I found out with these Afghans and Afghans outside Canada, or, you know, let's say with the Western world, is like in India, I was dealing with refugees. Refugees have a lot of needs. They are in pain. They are missing something. They are losing something. So when you go to them, they actually listen to you because they have pain. They share their pain and there is no pride in them because, you know, they are in pain. So they listen to you. And when you talk to them, you know, they listen and, you know, they ask you to pray for them. Like in Afghanistan, Muslims are different. They are suffering because of their faith. There is war. There is fighting. You know, every day they see that people get killed because of Islam. So when you talk to them, you know, they listen to you. When you say good things about God, when you tell them that, you know, what you are doing in the name of God, that's not God. God doesn't want those things. They listen to you. But when I came to Canada, I found out that these people, they are very proudful. They don't want to listen. Why? Because they think they have everything. There is no war here. And they are not refugees. They have less needs. Everything is covered by the government. And that's why they think, Allah blessed us. He brought us to Canada. And we are experiencing all these blessings because of our faith in Allah. So they don't want to listen. So that was the difference. So I used to go outside and share with people, use any opportunity. But, you know, people were like dead people, not listening. Saying, God, what is going on with me? Maybe there is some problem with me. But then, you know, Jesus taught me one thing. Start with one person. So that's the secret that I want to share with you. Start with one person. Here everything is different. So I found one person, only one person, in my city. He's an Afghan, he's a Muslim. And then I became a friend with this person. And then I started building relationship with this person. Then this person, he started trusting me and listening to me. Then he started bringing his friends to me. And then his friends, they started bringing their friends to me. Then they started inviting me to their birthdays, to their wedding anniversaries, to their picnics, retreats, and everything. And I was there. And they used to tell me, say something good to these people. And hey, you have to listen to this guy. So I said, okay, so now I'm doing nothing. Just I attend these birthdays, wedding anniversaries, picnics, eating a lot of good food. Sitting there like a king. And then they come and say, okay, you have to listen to this guy. You know, so. And then, so that's one thing. Then I found another person, another city where 30,000 Afghans live. And I started with this guy. Actually, he found me on Facebook and he called me. Ah, I see you speaking on Facebook. Yeah, I want to know about your God. I said, okay, I'm coming. So I met this guy. Then, believe me or not, he introduced me to more than 300-400 people. He's like one of those guys that is very friendly with everyone. So then I said, okay, so now I'm going, they are coming to me, I'm going to them. They invite me, then I should also arrange something for them. So I also started making some programs for them. Hey, friends, it's like Thanksgiving Day. Why don't you come and, you know, we have a program for you. So then they started coming to our programs. At least 100 people. So I said, 100 people are coming to our program. It's a big thing. Then, you know, it's my place, it's my program, and I can say whatever I want. They have to listen. So I use those opportunities. Then, hey, friends, this is Christmas. Whoa, what's Christmas? Why should we come? You should come, you know. I come to your New Year celebration, so you come to my New Year. So I tell them it's a New Year celebration. You know, Muslims think Christmas is New Year. So they started coming to Christmas and then Easter. But it's not New Year. I said, Easter is also a good day, you should come. So like that, you know, now Canada Day is coming, so I want to use Canada Day. Oh, so you are in Canada, so let's come to the Canada Day. So like that. So the thing is, I found out the secret that it's in these countries, if you want to reach out Muslims, start with one person. Call him or call her a contact. Okay, find a contact. Just start friendship with him. And then build relationship with that person. And then he or she will do everything for you. And then, you know, so this is one thing. So, should I finish? I can speak. Yeah. Okay. So I noted a few things. So, I found out one problem in Canada, I don't know about America, that the church doesn't want to listen to people like me. Now they started listening. When they saw that, okay, what I was telling them, it's working. People are coming to Christ. You know, so now they are started listening to people like me. But they were not listening to me. So the church focus was on mosques. Let's go to mosque and share the gospel with them. I said, no, let's go to the communities. An imam, he's getting paid by the mosque. He will never listen to you, you know. Even if you speak logically, an imam will never listen to you. And he will never let you to speak to his people. So I said, let's go to the communities. No, we want to go to the mosque. But nothing is happening. And then I said, when you go to a community, don't focus on everyone. Find open-minded people, those who are listening. And once they listen to you, start listening to you, then these people who think they are strict, they are orthodox Muslim, they will also start thinking about this. And they will also listen to you. And they will come to you. And then they say, okay, let's go and share from Quran, you know, and tell them that Jesus is in the Quran. I said, Jesus is not mentioned in Quran. Let's share from the Bible. Jesus says, my word has the power to save, if they believe. Doesn't say that you use Quran and that will change them. I said, use the Bible. Why Quran? They said, no, Jesus is mentioned in Quran. I said, first of all, the word, the name that is mentioned in Quran, you cannot find it in the Bible. It's not the same name that's used for Jesus. And secondly, that Jesus is different from our Jesus. You know, everyone has a Jesus. One Jesus talked to these Mormons. They have their own Jesus. Another Jesus told to Jehovah Witness that I am not God. So I said, we have our Jesus, the real Jesus. So let's share him with people. If you say, okay, see here, Jesus says, I am the Word of God in Quran. They say, yeah, the next verse says that I am not God. Jesus says that I am not God. Christians, you know, it's just a blasphemy that they call me the Son of God. So I said, they say, okay, read this also. If you want to believe one verse, then you should believe all. So I said, they also know about these things. So, Bible. I said, I want to use the Bible. I want to go to the community, not to the mosque. I want to focus to the people who listen. Those who don't want to listen, you know, they will listen one day. They will listen, you know. When they see that something is happening in their community, they start thinking. And they will come to you. In a good way or in a bad way. But it doesn't matter. Even if they come fighting, you know, it's okay. You know, you can deal with that. So, yeah. And let me see. Yeah. So, and another thing is, like sometimes we as Christians, we like to preach to people. Tell them everything like in 5 minutes. You know, like, it's like, you know, when I was a soldier, killer. So, when we used to catch an enemy, so we had like 10 minutes to do whatever we wanted. Otherwise, you know, we had to deliver them to the, let's say, to the government. So we also, like Christians, it's like we are catching an enemy and we want to say everything that we know from the Bible in 5 minutes or 10 minutes. Then that person is kind of confused, you know. So I said, no, don't preach to them the first time. Just talk to them. Introduce yourself and just get to know that who are they. And share something about your life with them. Then they will share their life with you. And from there you can start a friendship with them. A relationship will be there. And so I said, I don't want to preach to people when I find them somewhere. Or if I go to a birthday party. I want to introduce myself to them. And I want to tell them about my life. I'm actually preaching. I want to tell them about my life. Who am I? And their first question is, why you sold out your religion? And then I can give them some good answers. So, and also some people, they want to focus on groups. I focus on individuals. So I'm not looking like in, we have 2 worship meetings now in 2 different cities in Canada. But in every group, like every worship meeting, we have only 10 people, 8 people or 10 people. But outside these worship groups, we have hundreds of people that I go and I meet them, I visit them, I talk to them, I go to their homes, they come to me, I go to them. So I want to focus on individuals, because when I am with a Muslim, they are even not open to their husband or wife. So when they are in a group, they don't want to talk. They don't want to share. They don't want to tell you the truth. They don't want to listen to you. So I go to individuals and I gave them a chance to talk to me. And I talk to them. And then I tell them, this is why I believe in Jesus. Until today in Canada, I couldn't find a Muslim, a strict Muslim or a nominal Muslim, a religious Muslim or just a regular Muslim, who can tell me that, no, I'm not agree with your God, with what he is saying. They have no words. They just tell me, I don't want to listen to you, you are a pagan. I say, okay, no problem, but that's not the answer. So I tell you, my God is love. And He loves you. So, do you have problem with love? No, you are a pagan, I don't want to listen to you. Actually, they know that this is true. He's saying the truth to me. I have no problem with this. I have no problem with God who loves me. But I don't want to listen to this person. So, yeah, so that's what I'm doing in Canada. Going to individuals and talking to them about myself. Because my identity is Christ in Christ. So when I'm talking about myself, I'm talking about Christ. Because I'm not the old Obed who was someone, something. So I'm a new Obed. I'm a new creation. When I talk to them, I'm telling them who created this new Obed. And this new birth that I have is from whom and who taught me these things and why I am here to tell you about these things. So I'm actually talking about Jesus. So I introduce myself and I'm actually introducing Jesus to them, you know. And then I start building relationship with them. If it's a single person, I go and meet him. If he's a family, like they're married, I go with my wife. So I invite them to my house. They invite me to their house. So I work with them. I work with them. And then from this community of hundreds of people, I choose people one by one. And I invite them to this worship meeting. And we had the privilege to baptize one person. And then we also have the privilege to to bring in 8 people into these 2 fellowships. So it's a long process, but 8 people, that's something. They are coming and, you know, and they are listening. And I, since it's late night, so I want to tell you a funny story also. So we started a meeting. I said, okay, come to this meeting, and we called it debate and discussion. Meeting with Muslims. So I said, so you come here, I choose the topic, and then we all talk about that. It doesn't matter if you are a Muslim, you speak from Quran or from your own mind or whatever, but I will choose the topic. So it was going well for 2 months. Then after 2 months, I said, okay, the next week's topic is peace. Because people are thirsty for peace. So everyone is there, maybe 15 people, and we started speaking about peace. So I said, so this is what the Bible says about peace. So then I said, okay, now you tell me, what do you think? What is peace? So this guy shared this idea, that guy shared this idea. So this is also like this day we had, it's someone's birthday. So we have a cake. And I forgot to bring a knife, so I got a knife from the kitchen, and I put it there. So one guy is sharing about peace, and the other guy said, no, I think peace means this. He said, you're wrong. So everyone is saying, we need peace. This is very important. You know, peace is very important. Like, we need peace. I like peace. I love peace. I want to be a peaceful person. So this, he shared something about peace. He said, no, you are wrong. I said, you are wrong. I said, no, you are wrong. You failed the citizenship test 5 times. I said, why you are talking about? He said, you failed the level 4, like they are going to learn English 10 times. You don't know. You don't know. You are a fake engineer. You are a fake doctor. So they are engineers and doctors. You this, you this, you this. So one guy, he had a cup of tea just for his face. And this guy took the knife and just beat him. So I, for 20 seconds, I said, okay, let them fight. But then I said, no, now they are serious. This one guy has a knife. Then, you know, there was some blood because he hit 2 people. And then I said, okay, please go from here. I will danger. So fighting over peace. But I said, no more debate and discussion. Let's finish this meeting. No, then they called me, both sides, both parties. It was just a joke. I said, okay, I don't like these kinds of jokes. With lies and with... So that's the, you know, the sad reality about these people. They are highly educated. They suffered because of war. They left their countries and they came to these countries. They are looking for peace. They are thirsty for peace. But from inside, they are no different from those people who are fighting. You know, so is it a bad thing? No, for me, when I look at their situation, Jesus had compassion on these people when he saw them. So I see, oh, so they need our help. They need our help. These are the people that I should focus on them. Because, you know, I know about their situation. It's okay, you know, they had this fighting. But then I said, okay, I can meet you outside the church. So we rent a church building. But here, you cannot fight. Outside, you can have a fight, no problem. So like that. But, yeah, so... If you have any question, can yeah, I'm happy to answer.
Back in 2001, I remember in the New York Times there was an article about the drought in Afghanistan, yeah. And people were leaving. And we were in Finland, I remember, when I read that article. And I said to the church, we had a convention, let's pray for Afghanistan, you know. The people are moving because of the drought. You know, there was a helicopter in a lake that had crashed in a lake, and now they could see the helicopter because the water was gone, you know. So the Finns, we just started, okay, because we're mission-minded. How could we ever go? Because there's no recorded believer in Afghanistan. There was no, according to Operation World, they had no knowledge of any Afghan being a believer. This is back then. But now it's changed. It's really amazing. So I'd like you to share with us, like, what, there were 500 believers in Finland, Afghans, I think, immigrants who are, and then other countries, you travel. He travels and speaks to Afghani Christians in Europe and so on. And tell us about that.
Thank you. So, yeah, that time, 2001, the Taliban was in Afghanistan, so the situation was different. But nowadays, like first time I went to Finland, there were around 500 Afghani Christians. This January, I went to Finland. They had 1,000 Afghan believers, like more than 1,000 Afghan believers. So it's growing like that. And also in Germany, there are more than 2,000 Afghan believers in Germany, in Sweden, in Holland, in Netherlands, and in different countries, in Greece. And Turkey, there are many Afghan Christians in India. Even inside Afghanistan. Inside Afghanistan, there are a lot of people who are, interested to know about Jesus. And there are hundreds and hundreds of Christians, underground Christians in Afghanistan. So our people, like from Afghanistan and Iran, they are... very, you know, like if you tell them I'm a pastor, we have a church, so you have to have a nice clothes and you have to have a building. Otherwise, they don't think you're a pastor or you're from a church. So I was doing these Facebook programs, Facebook and YouTube programs. So I was thinking, okay, so then they told me, why don't you start a TV? like online TV. So what's the difference? TV is a video online. You put a video online, people can see it. So here also is the same thing. I said, no. They are asking me, your background is so ugly, so you have to have a good background, you know. So then I purchased the software, and I'm using this green screen background, you know. You can put anything, you know, you can change your background. And now, and I called it Afghan Christian Online TV. So everyone is watching, because they are not listening to me, they are listening to the background, you know. So now everyone is, oh, this is someone. Because they don't trust you. They say, you are no one and you are coming and speaking from the Bible. Now, oh, now it's a TV, so we should listen. This guy is telling us the truth. So I said, I will do whatever, you know, just to, you know, get you. So, so I said, okay, if you are happy with the background and with the name, I will change it. So I said, okay, Afghan Christian Online TV, so like many people. So I'm saying, so through this Facebook and YouTube ministry, I found out that there are, I said, 100, maybe thousands Christians, new believers inside Afghanistan. There are groups of them, but everything is underground. So they contact me and I'm in contact with them. And then I made a website. I made a website, Afghan Church of the GTA. So I made a website and I put some books and songs and everything there and my videos. So this website is very useful for them, because when they ask me for a Bible, I say, here is the link. You know, I don't go to Google to, you know, Google something or send them by email. So they tell me, okay, I need a book about this. Okay, here is a Christian book about this. I want to know about this. Okay, here is information about. So I put all these information on this website and I use it. So, like, I can say right now maybe there are more than 10,000 Afghani Christians all around the world. And there may be hundred thousands of people interested to know about Jesus. But what we are missing, why there are hundred thousands of people who are interested to know about Jesus, and why this process is very slow, because we don't have people in the Afghan church who know the Bible and who can teach them, or have the, you know, the access to the internet, or, you know, YouTube or Facebook to go online and teach these people. So we are lacking that thing, but I see that there are hundred thousands of people who want to know about Jesus, but we are only maybe 10 people on Facebook from Afghanistan who are active and who are working with these people. So I started doing Pashto programs, and I wanted to do it like four times a week. But then I saw that, okay, what's the point? There are many people trying to contact you and talk to you, and they have questions, but you cannot get back to them. So, no, I will do only one program in a week. So even with that, I'm struggling, because it's like, you know, bees, like the... Yeah, it's like, you know, there are like thousands of bees that are attacking me, asking questions, good in a good way, asking questions, asking for information, asking for Bibles. So, but I don't have time. So that's a prayer request. So please pray for that. So we need people. We need people who can talk to these people. We actually, you know, like in this church, we have a system. Everything, it has a system, you know, that work, and the ministry has a system, and, you know, we are using that system to manage everything. So actually we need a system, you know, for the Afghan ministry, that we can deal with these people. And also another good thing is, like, I'm in Canada, I can see thousands of Iranians only in Canada coming to Canada. And they all, you know, start going to different churches and believing in Jesus. And many baptisms are happening in Canada. I knew one Iranian church. They had maybe 50, 60 members last month they invited me to speak, and they had more than 300 people sitting in the church. I said, well, what's going on? So the pastor, he was kind of, he asked me, like, I don't trust if they are real believers. I said, no, God brought them to you. Even if they are not believers, if even they are fake or bogus believers, but you just see it as an opportunity. You teach them the Bible. So don't be an enemy to them. Or maybe they are fake believers. No, you teach them the Bible. You show them love and they will learn. Even if they are not believers, they will listen to you. And they will give their heart to Jesus. So he said yes. So every church, Iranian or Persian church in Canada now has 200-300 members. And they are also going to different English churches. So something is happening in the Muslim world. It's not like nothing is happening, even inside those countries. Yeah, thank you.
Amazing.
We haven't had any knife fights in our church yet. It's amazing. Oh, man. Well, we're up in Marlboro, Mass. We had a great missions conference a week or two ago. And thank you, everyone, for coming up. It was, I don't know, the best one. Every time we get together in a new way, it's the best time. So we had a great time together. But just like Pastor Obed is talking about people fighting over peace. And, how characteristic is that of the world? We fight over peace. We want to coexist as long as you exist in my reality. And if not, there's no room for you. So I was in Boston on Sunday afternoon. We were picking up some Pilvi from Boston Logan, and we had an hour to kill. So we just went down into the Common, Boston Common, public gardens, beautiful place, right? More beautiful in the summer than in the winter. We went there with the youth. Youth ministry came up in December. We went to Boston Common. And we're like, thank you for bringing us to this waste, barren wilderness of cold. It was tough. Nobody was there to soul into. But anyway, we're there in the summer. And, you know, the month, okay, what month is it? The Gay Pride Month. And then Massachusetts, very progressive in our legislation and recreational use of marijuana. So we're walking around the public gardens and like everybody is high, including, I think, my kids at this point, because we're walking around the public yard and everybody. But and then to see what everybody's representing, you know, they have their shirt on, their rainbow or their flag or whatever. And just to think that in that way that people are set free to do whatever they want and, like, you know, delivered into themselves to do whatever you want that you think would bring you satisfaction or to bring you peace with yourself. If you only allow yourself to do what yourself wants you to do, you could find peace or you could find fulfillment. But I just noticed as I walked around that everybody, a lot of people were hollow. Like, that's the way, only way I could think of it, is that people are just hollow. And they're looking in not finding any substance, but trying a lot of substance, right? Whatever I can do. And was just so thankful for the peace that we have with Jesus. You know, Romans 5:1, that I have peace with God through Jesus Christ. And I was just thinking that these people who are hollow, that they're lost in this distance between man and God, there's a distance. And then there's also a weight of my sin. So like these two things, that there's distance and weight. And in my attempt to find, like, to manage this distance and also handle this weight, that's where people are, and they're just lost in it. All right, like wandering around in the distance between me and God, and then overcome with the weight of my sin, and that just empty, lost in this huge thing. So encouraged by our message and so thankful for the mission that our ministry is on. Because like our missions conference a couple weeks ago, we said, okay, leading up to it, we said, let's not just hear about missions in this missions conference, but let's be on a mission. And let's see if God could move us as a church in our mission here in Marlboro. And we've seen it. In this year, we've seen a lot. God do a lot. And like Pastor Obed said, one person is so valuable. And I don't know, did you say it tonight, Pastor Schaller, that if heaven rejoices at one person being redeemed, like what an amazing thing that is. So as we meet people and we tell them about somebody who has overcome the distance and somebody who has handled the weight, what a relief that is. Because actually the distance that between me and God is immeasurable. Like we live in such a measurable world. Don't we? We love to measure everything. And I was thinking of Pastor Schiavelli. Like everything is numbered. Right? But then even we watch sports these days and everything is so measured and everything is so analyzed. You watch a golf tournament and there's stripes going everywhere. There's meters. There's stats. There's everything is so measured. And I just think that that's the world we live in where we've gone to the extent of it. We've measured every part of it, but there's still distance between me and God. Like I could go to the extent of human measurement and still be lost in it. And then there's a weight of my sin that, is so heavy. We're all sinners. Right? It's so heavy. Like I could have one sin that overcomes me. Like Pastor Texier's message is amazing. Right? The past is presence. The past has presence. The present has presence. And the future has presence. And if you put my sin in that equation, then the weight of one sin in my past can affect the presence, my present, and then it can affect my future. But then the anxiety about my future affects my present. And so the weight of one sin, just think of the weight of one sin. We all know it. We all feel shame. We all feel guilt. We all feel this thing. And how can I manage one sin? I can't. And we talk about this sometimes that we have designer guilt where we present God with a sin that we are willing to deal with. And we say, okay, God, like here is this sin in my life. Like I'm willing to deal with it, but it's almost done in a way that I please him in some way. But there's another sin that's behind my back that's bigger and I don't want to admit to. And I'll say, like, I will deal with this. Like, I say it that when I was a teenager, like, okay, mom and dad, right? They're right here. Here they are, mom and dad. Mom and dad, I will deal. Okay, cigarettes. Yeah, I've smoked cigarettes. Oh, so bad. So bad. Let's deal with this, right? And I put that in the front. But actually, like, I'm doing that because there's a bigger sin behind me. Like, and I don't want to present that and I don't want to deal with that. So I'll do this in an attempt to get off and get away with something. So, like, I just think that even the little things that I do want to deal with God are so heavy. But then behind it is stuff that I don't think is imagined. Like, I don't think he could even deal with because it's so bad. So that weight, right? And then that distance. So that's one sin, but then just think of a lifetime of sin. And then how heavy that is. So I can't navigate the distance. I can't even measure the distance and I can't handle the weight. I can't even pick it up. And I think legalism tries to bring the distance closer to measure it and tries to analyze the sin to weigh it. But we have met one. We have met Christ. And it says in Isaiah 53 that the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And like, what is that chastisement? How heavy was that burden that Christ handled for me. Like if one sin is too much for me to even think about dealing with, then how heavy is the sin of the world? And that the chastisement of my peace was on him. That it wasn't just like, you know, me saying, okay, yeah, it's there. Yeah, it's in my life. But it's that there's punishment and there's death and there's the wrath of God and there's just penalty for my sin. Each one. So he felt the weight of each one of my sins. And he felt the weight of each one of your sins. And he felt the weight of the sins of the entire world. And that weight that I couldn't even dream of, he carried. He put it on his shoulders and he carried it. And then he spanned the distance. Like the anchor, right? The anchor. What a message in Hebrews 6. Like, I have an anchor that's sure and it's within the veil. And so he brought that distance. And like, we're hollow people, whatever we are. Where if it's a knife fight over a piece of cake, if it's, you know, if it's an argument over a way of life or whatever it is, like, we're hollow and we can't navigate that distance. We can't carry the weight, but all we have is Christ and Christ. In the security of who he is, has dealt with it and so perfectly and so holy. And he says, now I know, in Romans 5:1, now I know that I have peace, not because I have been able to measure the distance, not because I have been able to calculate the weight, but because Christ has taken it and the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And I don't know. I mean, I think that thought can be with us for a long time. Like, what is that weight and what is that chastisement and how bad is it and how, what did Christ go through for me? But I know the result of it. I mean, tonight's, those three messages were amazing. And the security that we have in the work of Christ, that he has made us whole and he's put substance in hollow people and he's given us like light in our eyes. So you walk around Boston and you just, you know, like there's people, there's one older gentleman sitting on a fountain. I said, how are you doing? And he looked up and, you know, how are you doing? I'm good, right? Like, whoa, a human, right? Another person with life. And we talk. And then you walk by and there's an argument about this. There's an argument about that. There's an emptiness in this. But we come through with light and we come through with life and we come through with an answer that has overcome this. And the message goes everywhere. And it meets everybody, and it brings peace. And that peace is amazing. And to say we know we have it, like, that's unmatched.
One of the things that Pastor Obed mentioned that kind of caught my attention, that he's asking us to pray for him because he can build a ministry in Toronto that's like reaching Afghans and you know, wherever they are. And one of the things he said, which was, you know, people. And he also mentioned, like, our ministry here, like, this whole church works by a system. We have an organization and we have a system with things working. Like, we have 130 people that work here, you know. 130 people that work here on this campus, you know. I mean, and they are awesome people. You know, a lot of experience. So, just for you folks to think about it, what would you do? What would you say to him? How would you help? What would you say? What advice would you give him if he wants to build an international ministry to meet Afghans? What would you say to him? Okay. So, yeah, I think you know, maybe. So turn to your neighbor and tell them what you would do. Okay. Where do the people come from? Where do they come from? And who are they? What would you say to him? Because I want you to identify with me and understand that he's asking me, right? He's asking us, but I'm asking you. I'm asking you to be like, to be Pastor Schaller. Now, what would you do? What would you say? He wants to build a ministry that has international impact, and he already has it by having a fake background on his TV, Afghan online TV, international online television. But it's just him in a room with a green background. And the people are so impressed with the green background. And there's thousands of people listening to him on YouTube or on the program. Okay. Afrus. Do you want to use the microphone? Yeah.
I just want to say something maybe can be clear to our people in the ministry. So my family are Iranian, and back in the Shah times, a lot of American missionary went to Iran and built hospital, orphanage, and that's how Christianity came to Iran back then. So after the regime changed, there were still a lot of churches that the Iranian could go and grow, and it was some Bible college, but secretly. Until the serious persecution happens, and 5 years ago, they closed down all the churches, then the house church started. But then all those people went to the country like a refugee, Christian, the religion refugee. They started having ministry all around the world. So we have hundreds and hundreds of churches, Iranian church, with pastor. Most, some of them, they have been in Bible college. But what amazes me is he's the only one in the whole country of Afghanistan that he's feeding those people. Out of, inside the Afghanistan and out of Afghanistan in Canada. And he travels to all those communities around the world to do that. And it's, you know, it makes me so proud that he comes from the finished work and the grace message, you know. And, there are a lot of pressure on him because the culture, you know, the culture of Afghani, Iranian, everything they see is by sight. So he doesn't have the organization. So they can, those Afghani people can go around Iranian church. And some of them, they don't have teaching. It's just like a club there. You know, they just gather or they compromise the teaching. But he knows the grace message. He knows the finished word because he has been fed in India. And that's what he wanted. He has told us last year, there are a lot of Canadian and American organizations, they want me to work with them. With those, you know, they do everything. They pay me and everything I wanted to be with them and then grow the ministry among. But he said, I can't do that because I have to compromise so many things and I have to be under their authority. So he doesn't do it. He said no to everybody. And he's doing it the way he does. It's just amazed me because still God provides the money. He can go. He has been invited through Iranian or some, you know, international organization. Can you come? We have some Afghani. He goes for some Afghani to Finland, to Germany, just to have a conference. And he's the only one man. He doesn't have anybody to help him. It's amazing me. And I'm just like, saying that so people know more about how he's handling this stuff. And, God bless you, Pastor Obed.
So just share a story. One, there is one imam, Afghani imam in Toronto. So he was telling people that, I want to meet this guy. I meet him for 5 minutes and I will make him Muslim like me. So I said, everyone was telling me, why don't you meet him? I said, I don't want to argue with him, so there's no point where I said, let him go to hell. He was just making so I don't want to meet him. I don't have time to argue with this guy, you know. So one day I was in a Tim Horton and they just told him he's in the Tim Horton, and I was in a Tim Horton like coffee shop. So they brought him there. So I didn't know that he's coming. So he came. Okay, I have one question. Where is the Mary Magdalene's gospel? I said, I don't know. So he said, why you don't know? You removed it from the Bible. I said, okay, so Mary Magdalene was the wife of Jesus and she escaped to Egypt and they had a son. I asked him, what was the name of his son? I don't know. I said, so you have no information and you're just gossiping about Jesus. Then everyone was laughing. And then he also started laughing. I said, you just heard this from someone and you don't know his son's name? No. Okay, I said, go. I don't want to talk to you. So they have a lot of wrong information about us. Even a new believer, it's very sad. They ask me different questions that I don't know. You know, some traditional churches, they have different, let's say, Christian culture or traditions inside the church, like even with the uniform and everything. So they ask me, what do you think about this? I said, first explain it to me. What is that? So then they ask me, so you don't know? I said, no, because it's not in the Bible. So if something is not in the Bible, I don't know that. So they say, okay, so what should we do? So we are in this church now. There is no other church. What should we do? I said, you read the Bible. If you read the Bible, you will learn about God. But if you read their books, you will learn about them. So it's better to focus on the Bible. They say, yeah, that's a good idea. But even with that, like if today someone, a Pashtun asked me, give me a Bible, I have nothing to give to him. So you see, these are challenges. You know, these are challenges. Even when I speak on this fake TV, so I don't have a Bible. So I read the Persian Bible and I just verbally translate that. So this is what the Bible says. It's not the Bible, it's my translation of the Bible. So there are many challenges, but God is working. God is working. And many young Pashtun people are interested to know about Jesus. So it's something that encouraged me. It's very encouraging for me. Many young Pashtun people, they're very strict about Islam. So you ask them, are you a human being first or a Muslim? They say, no, we are first a Muslim. We are human beings. So, like that. So, you know, so, yeah, so God is working. And, like people can help if you know about the technology. If you have a camera, you can give it to me. If you know about some softwares, how to, develop this online ministry. If you are happy to, you know, English or Persian or Pashto, any of these languages, if you want to, be in contact with these people, help them to understand the Bible. So you can help in different ways, you know. Yes. Yeah, someone had a camera, he gave it to me. So now before my camera was not good. This one is 4K camera, a small camera, like just a small one, but it's working. So, yeah, so anything like can help. Yeah, thank you.
So I know you know this because you lived in India and you know how we operate. Like, let's say there's a man in India who starts to evangelize, and then he gets a little group. And then he has them trained. You know, so we have Bible school. And it's from the Bible school that we find the people that make a commitment. They take up the cross. They learn that I'm going to follow Jesus. Because in our experience, if you start an organization but you don't have that, then you just they work for money.
Yeah.
But if they have the cross and they learn to live in the Spirit and they live by faith, now it's different. Now they're part of your organization because of the cross, because of fellowship with God, because of a calling. Because it seems to me that you have the gifts and the ministry, but you know, building that church that's going to be the core that's going to do the work. So first is the church, and then comes the mission work and the TV program, and also the finances that you need, you know. But it has to be coming from a church. And the church is people that have the mind of Christ and are willing to make a commitment to Christ in faith, you know. And basically, we don't ask people to belong to greater grace. We ask people to take up the cross and follow Jesus with all their heart and learn the word. And then we find ourselves together in greater grace, you know. And then we greater grace has a mission, and greater grace has a plan, or a TV program, a radio program, and so on. So you're at the beginning, you know, of your church planting work. Do you call it a church planting or no?
Yeah.
Yeah. It sounds like it is.
Yeah.
You know, you have a Christmas program, you call it New Year's program. And they, how many times do you meet? How many? Every week?
Yeah.
In the two places?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Different.
Different. Two different groups, and you're the pastor, and you're seeing God do the work. From those, I think you're going to be able to build your organization. You know, don't you think so? I mean, you already know that.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're asking us to pray for that. And
yeah.
And also, if somebody felt led and they moved from Baltimore to Toronto and helped you, you're saying that's possible.
Yeah.
If God called them to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Come and help me, you're saying.
Yeah, and also, like, since it's online, so a follow-up and some technical stuff with the online ministry, it can be done from anywhere.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like the follow-up. You can,
okay.
So people will contact me, I will introduce them to someone, you can follow up like that. Yeah. Nowadays, you know, if you go to Afghanistan, even children have a Bible with the internet. So everything is online. That's what I'm saying. So I just send the links. If I have a Bible in my language, I can send a link to people. So people read it online. And keeping a Bible physically in Afghanistan, it's not safe, you know. But it's in your phone, you know. You open, you read it, then you just close it. It's even online. You don't have it on your phone. It's on the internet. So you open the link, you read it, you know. So, yeah. It's like this phone is like a local church for people in Afghanistan. You know, I forgot to tell you. We have online worship services. Like people from different countries, they join us. So we have this online, so I put some worship songs and we pray and I preach and they listen. So like we had the even a big Easter, online Easter service. And then, you know, since these are new believers, they asked me what is Pentecost. So we had a Pentecost service for them just to understand so that they are not misled, you know. So it's very important, you know, for new believers to tell them what happened on the day of Pentecost. And, you know, you should explain it to them, you know. Pentecost is very important. You know, they should know. Otherwise, they will waste their time speaking in tongues and nothing.
We can close in a few minutes, but do you have a hope that one day you could return to Afghanistan?
I want to, like, I tell people in all the time that if I can go, I will go tomorrow. So I'm praying for that, but but I don't see any chance for now, but maybe in the future, who knows? Wow. Yeah, man. But so let me tell you one thing. America is great, Canada is great, Europe is great, but I like Afghanistan. That's what I enjoy. If I'm in Afghanistan, I enjoy more. You know, I like there because it's. So I don't know. Everyone is different. But for me, if I can go tomorrow, I will go today. Start packing and going back to Afghanistan. Yeah. Because I can do more there. But now, if I go there, I cannot do anything. I have to hide somewhere for my life. Or if I should tell them, Alhamdulillah, I'm a Muslim. So, so otherwise they kill you. So what's the point to go, you know? It's better to stay alive and eat some McDonald's and KFC. So, yeah. No, I'm doing this topical teaching, online classes, which is available on YouTube. So there are some questions that Muslims ask, you know, some famous questions that all Muslims ask. So I covered all those topics. So every day you have to update it. Every day I'm on Facebook, on YouTube, in contact with people. So I just see what kind of questions they ask. If there is any new question, any new topic that I should speak about, so then I make a video about that, you know. So I'm doing that, but yeah. So it's like for now that, and it took me now 3.5 years to make maybe 300 videos. So now when people tell me, so what do you think about this? Okay, here is a video. Oh, no, I don't want to watch your video. You talk to me. I say, please watch the video, and if you have any question, then you can ask me. So it's like sending videos to people about different topics. Yeah. So, in Canada, but, you know, life is busy, and many, yeah, so... That's the problem. Life is busy. But I have few people. I'm doing.
And you did it in Delhi.
In India, yeah, we have a lot of... Even in Canada, I'm working with people. So they help me, but, you know, they are busier. So.
Yes. In Delhi, you had more.
Yeah, in Delhi, like this year, Pastor Schaller was there. So I think some people got some certificates or something. Yeah. We even started a Bible college for them. And we did discipleship. There is a leadership. And they are doing ministry. But their way of ministry is different. Oh, I forgot to tell you one important thing. Nowadays, these Muslims, they are asking very difficult questions. That if you don't have some information about the Islam, and if you don't know your Bible, you will mislead them. You know, so they are asking very, very difficult questions, kind of questions that you even don't think about it. So these are very difficult questions. Maybe I will send a list of them to Pastor Scheller. And if you answer, and then I can copy and send it to you. Very difficult question. You know, they ask about, they know the details of the Bible, and it's, I don't know how come they can go that much deep into the Bible and find those points and then ask you those kinds of questions. It's not easy. That there is a challenge. It's not easy. So, but
yeah. Figure out a way to help.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's our system in Greater Grace. It works like
yeah.
Say like Haiti. When we go to Haiti, we raise up Haitian disciples to teach other Haitians because they already have that background to work with each other and to help with those questions. But they have to be trained up, you know, disciples in.
I'm doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
Not only in Canada but in different countries. So I'm doing that. Even in the U.S., there are three people. So I'm working with them, Afghani people. But everything is online. And they are also helping on Facebook. Yeah. And,
you know, there was a ministry called Jesus to the Communist World by Richard Wurmbrand. And when he got out of prison, he came to California and started this ministry to the Communist World. And he had the same challenge, you know, building an organization that would be able to do the work, to publish material, and to do trips and reach the communist world. And he did it. We had some people actually join him and did that for some years, you know. But there's I maybe misled everybody to think that he didn't know the answer. He has discipled, planted two churches in Delhi, I think. Yeah, with 90 people in one church. And, you know, he's really, they've done amazing things. When he lived in India, one of the things they did a little menu on good restaurants in India and good hotels. And then in the middle was the gospel. And this is in Afghani or Pashtun language. They would go to the airport, and when the Afghanis would fly in, they would hand out these little paper brochures for the menu, the best restaurants and hotels, and they would open it up, and there would be the gospel of Jesus Christ in there. They were very bold and also had persecution. And I mean, these guys are tough guys. They've seen a lot, you know. So I think we can finish the wrap, but you can be here a little longer. Maybe some people have questions and want to come down and talk with you. Pastor Bailey, love you. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Sure. Yes. Yeah.
I totally agree with you, but our people, they hate listening to religious leaders because the 90% of people in my country, they believe, and also in Iran, that they were cheated by their religious leaders. And what they say, they don't believe actually in that. So they don't like listening to preachings. They have questions, and when you answer, it's like a preaching to them, because you share the gospel to them. And because these religious leaders, they don't take questions, they don't answer questions. So the one difference that I want to show it to them is that, you know, okay, you can ask me any question, and I will answer to you, but my answers will come only from the Bible. If you don't believe that, then I cannot help you. So it's a different people, different community. So they want to see the difference. Mm-hmm. And like I was coming to here yesterday, well, I found out, like one of my friends from childhood, he lives in New York. So I just called him on Facebook Messenger, and I told him, oh, I'm coming to Baltimore. He said, come and stay tonight with me. I said, no, I want to get to this conference, and I don't want to stay with you. He said, you tell them that my car had some problem. Then he told me, no, now you cannot say a lie. Means like we are a Christian. So I was kind of, wow. So they believe that we are different from their imams. We are different from them. Said, oh, but you cannot say a lie because you are a Christian. I said, yeah, you are right. So I'll meet you someday.
Okay, you are dismissed.